Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So the first time I ever went backstage at a concert was a Megadeth concert. And I saw something backstage that night that I would never forget for the rest of my career. Hey, my name's Nick. This is my new podcast. It's called Radio Stories. I've been in radio 25 years plus. I've got some pretty awesome stories, and this is the first one. Back in 1997, I worked in Kalamazoo, Michigan for a station called WRKR, The Rocker. I was just an intern. I wasn't even on the air yet. We always joked that the intern's job was to make sure there was fresh ground coffee in the pot and fresh ground pot in the coffee. Ba-dum-bum. Anyways, The Rocker did this thing once a year at Christmas time called The Rocker Auction. What they did was they would give away autographed items from some of the biggest rock acts in America. A lot of these things came from the record labels. They would send them in the mail. But whenever there was a big rock act in town, somebody would go to that show and get something autographed that we could auction off and raise money for charity. So Megadeth was in town playing a show at the Kalamazoo State Theater, and my boss, my program director, says, "Hey, kid, I'm going to give you a poster. I need you to go to the Megadeth show tonight. I need you to get backstage and get the band to autograph this poster." So he tells me I'm going to go to the State Theater. I'm going to meet a record label rep named Chad Brewski. Chad Brewski was his real name, by the way. Chad Brewski sounds like somebody who should be a fraternity president, but he was a record rep, and I met him at the State Theater, and Chad Brewski tells me, "You're going to go to the side of the stage before the show, and you're going to ask for Bruce. He's the band's head security guy. Bruce will take you backstage to meet Megadeth and get your poster signed." So before the show, I go to the side of the stage and I meet Bruce. Now, Bruce is exactly what you think he looks like. He's the head of security for a rock act. Black jeans, black t-shirt, unshaven, bad attitude. That's Bruce. Bruce says, "Come with me, kid. I'll take you backstage and we'll get your poster signed." We go down the stairs to the backstage area at the Kalamazoo State Theater. Now, this backstage area, it's not what you think when you think of backstage before a show. You probably think of a huge dressing room with a giant mirror and bright lights all around it and a huge spread of food out and all sorts of things. This is not backstage at the Kalamazoo State Theater at all. The State Theater is a very old building, a lot of brick and mortar. So when you go backstage, it's very dark, it's very damp, it's very dank. It's like being in somebody's basement or what you would imagine a Turkish prison looks like. I mean, you can practically hear water from the moisture dripping in the corners, like bloop, bloop. So we go through this dark alleyway towards the backstage area where I'm going to meet Megadeth. Now, what would you imagine is backstage at a Megadeth show? Groupies, cocaine, loaded weapons, fire, virgin sacrifice? I didn't know what to expect. So we go down this hallway and Bruce takes me into the first room where the guitarist and the bass player are. Now, the guitarist is fiddling away at his instrument. It's not plugged in or anything yet, so it's real tinny sounding, kind of like when you used to make your own guitar out of a cigar box and rubber bands. It's like ding, 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 ding. So he's tuning and he's talking to the bass player and a guitar tech. So I get the guitar player to sign the poster, no problem. Bass player signs the poster, no problem. Guitar tech says, "I'm not in the band, kid," and they all laugh at me. I go into the next room where the drummer is. This is kind of weird. The drummer was sitting in a chair, but he was leaning forward, almost like a really anxious kid waiting for the final school bell to ring. He had his arms dangling at his sides, and he had his sticks in his hand, and he's playing the drums, on the outsides of his feet, furiously, like wailing away quickly. And I wondered how he would do that without turning his feet. And then I looked at his feet. On his feet, he was wearing wrestler shoes. You know the kind of shoes that high school kids wear when they're on the wrestling mat and they got the singlet and the helmet and all that on? If you don't know, Google wrestling shoes. That's what he was wearing. He puts the sticks down. He signs my poster. Then it's time to meet Dave Mustaine. Now, what you have to understand about Dave Mustaine is he's kind of like a metal god. He was the lead guitarist for many years for Metallica, and then he split off to form Megadeth. He is one of the most revered lead singers in metal music. He's kind of like royalty. So here I am imagining once again, what am I going to see in Dave Mustaine's dressing room? So far, it's been nothing, but I think, well, that's because it's not Dave's room. So we go around the corner. Bruce tells me Dave's in there. And I walk into this room to meet metal royalty, Dave Mustaine. And I turn the corner and I walk into this room and I saw something I would never forget for the rest of my career. So I walk into this dimly lit room and there's a man in the corner sitting in a chair in an orange turtleneck. Gross looking turtleneck, like the kind of turtleneck that your grandma would make for you. And you would only wear it when your grandma came over. Yeah. He's reading a book. And the book is Applied Economic Theory. So I say to this guy, I think I'm lost. I'm looking for Dave. And he goes, yeah. And I said, I'm looking for Dave Mustaine. And he goes, yeah. And I go, do you know where he is? And he goes, yeah, I'm Dave. So he puts the economic theory book down and he says, do you have something for me to sign? I hand him the poster. He signs it. Now, I have to tell you, at this point in time, I'm seriously thinking either A, I'm being punked, or B, Dave is really around another corner with some hookers and cocaine and guns and all that, and they're pretending that this guy's Dave is, but he's really like an assistant or something. So I say to Dave, what are you reading? He says, I'm reading a book on applied economic theory. It's for a class I'm taking. I said, a class? He said, yeah, I'm getting a business degree so I can manage this band. Now, I had taken economics in college. I hated it. I did very well at it, but I hated it. So I told Dave, don't you just hate economics? I remember taking it in college and hating it. He said, yeah, but if I want to manage this band, I need a degree. And so I have to ace this class. I was stunned. We talked about getting his degree. We talked about his business. And as I was walking out of the bellows of the State Theater through the darkness and the twists and turns and the backstage cave that it was in, all I could think about was how smart this guy must be. And then I started thinking about how certain artists and bands are here today and gone tomorrow, or rich today and broke tomorrow. But other bands last. Other bands survive. And I remember thinking to myself, that's the difference, isn't it? These people are smarter than we give them credit for. And yeah, the metal act and all that stuff on stage is just that. It's an act. But somebody's got to dot the I's and cross the T's. And why wouldn't you do it for yourself? Why wouldn't you manage your own band, your own career? I remember going back to the lobby of the State Theater. I didn't stay for the show. And I saw Chad Brewski again, and I ran into him. He said, did the band sign your poster? I said, yeah, but I was kind of surprised at what I saw backstage. And he said, what did you see? And I said, Dave Mustaine reading an economics book, and he told me he's getting his business degree. And Chad laughed and said, yeah, it's not what you would expect backstage at a Megadeth show, is it? And I said, no. So I said to Brewski, you've been in this business a long time. You've been a record rep a long time. What's the craziest thing you've ever seen backstage? And he told me, you know, I've represented a lot of crazy artists from Ozzy Osbourne, AC/DC, and on. But the most crazy backstage I've ever seen, the one where every night there were half-naked women running in and out, every night, was Loverboy. Loverboy? And Brewski said to me, let me tell you something, Nick. Those guys got more tail and had the craziest backstage stuff out of any band I've ever managed in my career. So what's the moral of this story? Well, I don't know if Dave Mustaine ever passed that economics class. I don't even know if he ever got that business degree. I do know this. Dave Mustaine's net worth today is $18 million. And you've probably never heard a song by Megadeth on the radio. So he must have been doing something right. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I hope you liked it. I've got a lot of stories to tell. In the next episode, I'll tell you how me and Ludacris prank called together one of the most famous companies in America. And hey, do me a favor if you can. Can you like the podcast or subscribe to it? Because if you do, that helps me out a ton.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.